Hello and welcome to this Meetings Today podcast. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. And joining us is Meetings Industry Tech Icon, Tech Legend, the one and only Jim Spellos from Meeting You. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
That's a heck of an intro. I think ChatGPT wrote it.
Don't share our secrets, Jim.
Oh, sorry about that. I keep spilling the beans.
Yeah, they will quit sending me the checks if that gets out. talking about ChatGPT and AI, and thank you so much for that wonderful contribution you made to the article I wrote a couple months ago. I couldn't have done it without you, literally. You are getting ready on June 20th to have a really interesting webinar, I'm sure. Everything you need to know about artificial intelligence. And typically, the old construct would be, and are afraid to ask, but maybe it's in, but are terrified to find out. Is
online there, really? And of course, I phrased it, but didn't know to ask. And I think that's what happens with technology, is you don't know what you don't know, like in life, right? But in tech, because there are all these tools, think of just about Word and Excel. You know what you know. And if you really are confident in that, you think you know a lot until somebody shows you, oh, it can do this too, and it can do this as well. And we're at such a huge, you know, crossroads, early crossroads with AI and ChatGPT and what can be considered generative AI, where we iterate with it, that people look at it from the framework they're comfortable with, which is Google. And they go, okay, Google, who won the baseball game last night? Google, what's the temperature outside? They do it with voice, they do it on the phone, they do it in short bursts, and nothing wrong with that. It all works for what you need. It's funny, my Google now just piped up because she heard her voice being mentioned. That's another conversation entirely. But there's so much more power here. And the power gets even way beyond just putting a couple of extra words in there, is understanding how the generative AI actually thinks. Not that you have to be a programmer, but to be able to understand what types of phrases and what type of an approach really becomes optimal. And then what other tools are available. So learning about this structure. But as you know, Tyler, I like doing this in a fun way. So while we're going to push the envelope really hard with content, I'm going to teach people about prompting and how to build it properly and show them examples. We're also going to show them 30 other tools they can use today that are AI-based, that don't have the initials ChatGPT in there, but can do amazing things for what they need to accomplish right away, like building a website in 30 seconds. Boom, done. I'm going to show two different tools out there that will do that. And I've seen both of them work. And I'm just, my head just spins around like the old, you know, dummies on the TV show, the 360 spin. It's like, how did it do that? I mean, getting the images right and getting basic copyright, really just getting it set up for you not to have to do anything, or, you know, building copy that you need, or images and the stuff with video. Oh my gosh. I mean, I can just keep going on and on. Hence why I'm doing a webinar, because I want to share it with all the different communities that are out there so they can start taking advantage of it.
Well, and you said getting your copyright. Well, that's a funny term, copyright now, right?
Boy,
does that enter into this, Jim?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. One of the things that I'm doing, all of the images that I'm using are going to be generated by AI in the presentation. And the copyright conversation about that is that it's no one's copyright. It's not yours. You don't own the pictures, but it's not any copyright because it's not taking an image from a previous picture. Now, when you start talking to artists, whether they're visual artists or musicians or whatever they are, they're going to say, but wait a minute, they scraped the internet for works, including mine. So isn't it really a copyright infringement? You know, the lawyers are going to have to make a lot of money to figure that out. But my take of it is, isn't it really the same as our brains? Because let's say I'm a musician, you and I, Tyler, you and I both play guitar, and we both are guitarists of influences, our influences of what we listen to. There's no way that if I write a song, there's not something I heard 40 years ago in the Beatles in the back of my brain that's still there that I can't elucidate, but at the same time, I can actually use that into the melody I'm writing or into the hook that I'm trying to put together. And so that copyright battle is going to be fool's gold for a number of people. The reality is there's no such thing right now as copyright, and probably it's going to take 5 to 10 years for the courts, with a couple of really ugly law cases too, to probably figure that out.
Yeah, and I've heard that sort of in the design realm is maybe the first area that's going to start. And I always wonder, too, if, you know, the Europeans are going to have a much heavier hand on this, like they typically do, like they just did with Meta, right? Bringing them up for $1 billion.
OpenAI, that's the company that created ChatGPT, is sort of thinking about pulling out their product from Europe because of how they're looking at, you know, GDPR regulations and the information that they're pulling from the web and all that. The problem is Pandora. The problem is that once you let them out of the box, you put it back in. You know, and so all these people, and a lot of people are preaching about the dangers and this and that, and I'm not short-selling it at all. But, you know, you should have had this conversation, or maybe we should have listened to that conversation 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
People also are under this impression that AI just came out last November. I mean, come on, gang. We've been watching Netflix for 10 years, and all that is an iterative AI that knows your preferences and giving you recommendations based on that, and Amazon as well. So it's now, I'll use a phrase that I heard in terms of healthcare, it's now citizens' AI, as opposed to, you know, centralized AI. It's now in all of our hands, which means we're going to define, you know, large extent how to use it. And the fact that what I'm teaching might not be the majority of people using it that way, you know, I think it's the majority of people who are going to be very comfortable in their jobs are using it that way, because that's the adage of, is AI going to replace you? And I have two responses to that. Only one I'm going to share right now, because the other one we'll talk in the webinar. But the first one is, no, it's not going to take a job. You're different. You're unique. You know, I know people can't see visually, but, you know, we're at a certain level with knowledge, and we assume that AI is higher than us, which I think is a fair assumption. There is a step above that, and that's a step where us and AI work together, and we're using each of our unique strengths to create something that's even better, more powerful, more suitable than what either one of us could have done individually. And that's what I want to get to people. I want them to know that this isn't a tool that's just in the domain of programmers and geeks. You can use it today and get so much better and do things that you was taking you so much time to do down the road.
And I think the corollary to like Google is very apt, because now, I mean, I kind of pride myself on thinking that, oh, I'm going to put in the killer search term that's going to get to what I want the fastest. Put this in quotes, put in this keyword, and I'm sort of challenging myself to think like that. And that's basically the same as a prompt, right?
It is, although you can go even deeper with the prompt. I mean, I've been teaching, and my Googlicious course has been now 20 years I've been doing it, and I've talked about operators, you know, put it in quotes and use the minus sign and use the colons with operators beforehand. Nobody does that. But when you do, you can really extract what you're looking for even better. Prompting takes it to another level, because there's so much you can do. One example, and I'm going to talk about this during the session, but if you start your prompt telling people to tell ChatGPT, well, first of all, always say hi to it, even though I don't believe in the singularity. I'm never sure, so I want to make sure I'm on the good side of it, regardless of what might happen. But if you say...
Put it a good word for me, all right?
I always do. It's Tyler, too, you know, is what I always say. But if... You started off by saying you are the world's greatest expert in search engine optimization, or you're the world's greatest expert in meeting planning, and then start doing things. You've essentially narrowed a little bit the field of information it's going to pull from, because remember, it is generative. It is a word after word. So what we're trying to do is narrow what it's pulling from so it pulls fewer wrong words. You know, so the more you put in there, and whether you do it as a one long paragraph or you do it in a conversation form, it'll work both ways. But I know the powerful prompts you can put out there really can give a lot of information and format it the way you want and iterate it the way you want. So I'm going to teach people how to do that. And we're going to do it in a short amount of time.
And so say, you know, I'm a meeting planner. How can I use AI to make my job more efficient? And I know there's a million and two answers to that, but what's the view from the mountaintop? What are the kind of the key ones?
I mean, the obvious one is pulling information out for site inspections or for looking at destinations and what you can do. You know, one of the examples I've shown a bunch of times when I've done this session, you know, for planners live is, you know, my boss just threw on my desk that I have a meeting in Oklahoma City in a month and I have to take 50 people out. You know, where could we bring them? So, you know, old school, real old school, there were the books, the huge guides that we used to have. And then, of course, we had the CVBs that we worked with or DMOs or any person that can do that. And I still think there's huge value in that. But we want to jumpstart that. Maybe what we want to do is ask ChatGPT, give me 5 things I can do in Oklahoma City for 100 people who like this and that. And let me know, you know, what the options are. And all of a sudden, it can pull that information. And now, if nothing else, I have a first pass I can go back to my boss with and say, here are a couple of ideas. Which ones you want me to focus on? You know, so now you've done your pre-work in 30 seconds rather than playing email tag or phone tag back and forth. And again, I'm not talking about getting rid of the CVB and the DMOs. I love what they do. I think their value is extraordinary. And we have to understand there's a new way of working. It's the same thing that apps and different mobile tools have taken away a lot of that pre-work that was done by people before. It's just an easier way. So learning how to ask the question, better response, and quicker information that you can use.
How is all this going to be monetized in the end?
Ooh, there's the question of the year for you. Well, think about Microsoft's put $100 million into OpenAI. And obviously what it's doing, it's drawing an awful lot of people to Bing, which is, and we'll see the numbers come out in a few months, slightly starting to change how much traffic they get. And that obviously adds to dollars right there. That's one. You have the fact that when Google releases Bard fully, and I know it's out there, but really integrates it into search, what they're trying to do is keep the monetization of search while having people have the access and the ability to use the OpenAI and the ChatGPT or whatever generative model they put in there. So I think Google is going to try to pull from the old format. They're going to say, we don't want to lose all this money we're making here. Let's see how we can co-opt it. What Microsoft might do is they might say, well, let's look at it this way, that we're going to give all this away, but just by the virtue of us getting more traffic onto our website or making Copilot from Windows and Office do more stuff, we can drive more revenue in terms of subscription modeling. And then you have the smaller companies that are getting what the app companies 15 years ago didn't realize right away, that you didn't have to give everything away permanently free of charge. You give a taste, and then you have a subscription model already in place. And what was really obvious from the start within the AI structure is all these small companies understood that if they give you a little bit for free, you might be likely to pay $8 a month to do a little bit more. And then you might be likely to pay another $5 or $10 a month for the enterprise version, however they choose to work it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the genie can escape the bottle on this. Because all this stuff's free, basically, right now, right?
Not really. Think about it. No? ChatGPT. ChatGPT is free, technically, but that's version 3.5. You go to 4 and you pay a premium. Now you have web access. Now you have plugins. And boy, we haven't even talked about that, that this community of plugins that are being built every single day to now not only allow the ChatGPT to access information, but to pull from websites and actually to have different large language models it's pulling from is incredibly powerful. And then you listen to what Microsoft did, which is they said, again, remember, they own OpenAI, or at least they have a huge interest in it, that if you're building a plugin for ChatGPT, those plugins will be usable in Windows. And that's genius, because now that plugin's being designed for 2 things simultaneously, giving the plugin manufacturers more revenue and more economic and visibility, but it's also providing a more rich place that I go to Bing or I go to ChatGPT, one of the same, and I can get all my questions answered.
Bing is like Lazarus, right? Risen from the dead. It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, and I'm still a Netscape fan from 40 years ago, however long it was. But I think what Bing has done is they lost the battle so many times to Google, and it just took this sort of a freak nature storm that the AI hit everything that all of a sudden made them relevant again because it was the technology they had invested in. So, yeah, they're back. And quite frankly, I still like Google search better than they do, but I hate both of the advertising I'm getting there. And that's one of these really interesting parts of right now using ChatGPT and all of its offspring, is that it's not with 14 commercial responses first before you get the information that you're looking for.
Things to be leery of or aware of. I mean, you know, I've heard like, wow, this is great, but maybe we just shouldn't turn it over to do writing all our contracts right now. Yeah. Better proofread the details, right?
Let's talk two things right off the top. One is the model it's trained on is biased, as biased as humans are. So we're perpetuating biases. And again, that's not a reason from my perspective to not use it. It is a reason to be very aware and to make sure that we push so that future large language models are more fair and equitable in terms of representing minorities, in terms of representing other opinions as well. You know, not, I'm not saying radical opinions, I'm saying just to get a full list and data that really is representative of humanity and not just a slice of humanity. So that's one thing.
Not like a 24-year-old in his mom's basement coding.
Right. And then the other thing, security, is, I mean, would you put your entire organization's employee handbook online public? No, you wouldn't, of course. But if you can build a large language model using the ChatGPT to have it on a private server, and I know some of the plugins right now are doing things like that, that you could actually search your company's employee handbook using a ChatGPT model. It's not going out, but it is accessible. Yet still with all that confidential data, you can't be using it in a place where it can be scraped. So organizations, and cats out of the bag, but they might want to start going, let's dial back on how much we're putting online. I do think that's a waste of time at this point because they have so many years of data there. But still, the whole security issue is an issue that we haven't dealt with properly. You know, Google and Microsoft and Apple are all hoping passkeys saves the day in terms of passwords, and I'm not buying it yet. The implementation should be here already for the average user, and it's not. And I still think it really comes down to personal, which is that we're built on a couple of things. And one of them is, you know, wanting things as convenient as possible. And when you have a tool like a good app, have a tool like a good iterative ChatGPT that's there, you know, we're not going to use it because it saves us time. It saves us money. It gives us stuff that now we don't have to force using the energy to do it elsewhere in another way, you know. So security, clearly one, and we've butchered it for the past 10 years, and my take is we'll probably continue to do so for a while longer, which is unfortunate because we need to get a better handle on that. But you know, it's opening up the game, and quite frankly, we haven't even talked about the next iteration of this, which may be 10 years away. But when you get these massive supercomputers, and you know, the ones that can crunch, and I'm just blanking on the word right now, and I should know, but all these amazing amounts of information that it can process simultaneously, what's that going to do when all this information's there? Now it's available in a nanosecond. All said, remember this, technology is not good, technology is not bad. It just is. It's a tool. And in the right hands, this AI stuff and the tool and all these large language models are going to save an awful lot of people's lives. And that's something we really can't take away from people who might need this to continue living because of the medical advance or something else that's going to be incredibly impactful in their life. Yet, how we keep it away from the bad people, isn't that what humanity is all about?
I guess so, yeah. Well, I guess maybe the first step is joining your webinar on June 20th. Why don't you fill people in on the details on that, and then we'll close it out.
That sounds fantastic. It's everything you want to know about AI, but didn't know to ask. And it's going to be on Tuesday, the 20th of June from 7 to 8:30. Now we're going to do about an hour of, let's call it lecture. I know that's so old fashioned and old school, but we're going to get information to you in two basic buckets, prompting and additional resources. And if you've been to my sessions that dealt with apps or anything or websites, you're going to have at least 35 to 40 accessible sites you can use right now that aren't ChatGPT for a whole host of different things. Last half hour, I'm keeping open for deep dives and Q&A. And I'm encouraging people to come with their questions and be able to focus on those and have those answered. I'm not going to leave the chat room until I've answered everyone's question. I know that's a dangerous thing to say.
You heard it here first. Yeah.
To me, it's one of the most fun things that I can do here is to help other people with their questions. And by the way, the one thing to note is I'm not going to deal with ethics. This is a tool session. And I want to be clear because that's a slippery slope discussion and I get it on all sides. But I want to leave people far smarter than me to have to deal with that question. What we're going to do is say, however you think about AI, here's what's out there right now. This is the state-of-the-art model, June 2023. Probably will change a bunch in the next 6 months to a year. But for right now, this is where you need to be, and this is how you can use it. So that's really the game plan, 7 to 8:30, Tuesday, the 20th of June. Everything you need to know about AI. But didn't
and you can find out more at meeting-u.com/AI, I believe.
Right? Yeah, you can do that. Oh, all sorts of places, social media, my social channels, and I use Jay Spellos and all the socials to access that, including my YouTube channel. It's on Eventbrite, so everything AI.eventbrite.com. Or just send me a note and I'll send you a link. I mean, that's pretty easy too. I mean, really, there's so many ways to get things right now.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Tyler. Great talking to you.
You too. And that was Jim Spellos of Meeting You. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us for this Meetings Today podcast. If you are interested in more of our podcasts with meetings and event industry thought leaders, head on over to meetingstoday.com and check out our podcast section. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And no matter what you're up to with the rest of the day, go out and make it great. Thank you.